Slaves of the Black Magician, written by Commander James Bondage, narrated by C. Allen Kelly. Chapter 1. Prisoners. She hung suspended and spread-eagled in the air, held in place by the faintly glowing rings around her wrists and ankles. Her small, nude body was spangled with beads of sweat that flashed like stars when, from time to time, a bright light, like a stroke of blue-green lightning, suddenly and blindingly illuminated the dark chamber for perhaps 30 seconds before disappearing. In those moments, the delicate-looking little blonde would arch up, every muscle corded and straining, while anguish that seemed too great for her small body to contain, for screams of torment from her throat, her toes curled and uncurled, her fingers clutched the air, and her green eyes stared sightlessly. Then night would return to the chamber, and she would fall back again, to hang exhausted, her face deathly pale, strands of close-cropped golden hair glued to her perspiring brow, her eyes closed, and the only sounds would be the receding echoes of her screams and the hoarse rasping of her labored breaths. A tall, hooded figure, almost invisible in the dimness, stood watching, silent and motionless, except when he would raise a black metal staff cast in the shape of paired, intertwined serpents, pointed at the naked prisoner, and whisper a certain word. Then a jagged tongue of blue-green fire would lance out from the serpent's ruby eyes to play over some part of the captive's exposed body, a calf, under an arm, the pink nipples of her small round breasts, her inner thighs, or the triangular pink-lipped delta between her legs. This last produced the most dramatic results, and, possibly for that reason, was the hooded one's favored target. After a time, when the prisoner's remarkable resilience began to fail at last, it was only when the lightning struck her in this place that she reacted at all. After an unknown time that might have been hours, days, or weeks, for she had long since lost track of the passage of time, and had nearly forgotten that there was more to the universe than the dark chamber and the flashes that heralded another shock of hideous pain. The hooded figure raised his snake staff, aimed it in preparation for launching another bolt, as he had many times before. But then, noting the way the blonde's head lolled unsupported on her breastbone, frowned and lowered it.
"The endurance of the Alvi is a thing of legend, and unlike so many other such legends, this one contains some truth. For I know no being, of whatever kind, who would live still had it undergone what I have inflicted upon thee,"
he told the unresponsive girl.
"And yet, even the deepest well must have a bottom, and to the strength of anything that lives, there must be some limit."
He walked up to the blonde, lifted her chin with his hand, and examined her face. She was, he judged, far gone into unconsciousness, and it was most unlikely that she could even feel the bolts from his staff any longer.
"It would not do to have you perish so quickly, little Alva, when we have only just met,"
he said, as he made an abrupt, sweeping gesture with two fingers, causing the glowing circlets holding her aloft to vanish, then catching her in his arms when she fell.
"We shall have many, many years to deepen our acquaintance, and much shall you learn of the infinite varieties of suffering, before I grant your heart's desire, which will be by then but one thing, death."
He walked out of the room, carrying her as easily as if she had been a straw-stuffed mannequin, and threaded his way rapidly through the maze of corridors, not troubled in the least by what to a human eye would have seemed pitch blackness, nor hesitating for an instant at any of the many bewildering branches, forks, and side passages that led left or right, or slanted up or down, before finally stopping at an iron-grilled door. The door opened at a gesture from the hooded one, and he strode into the room. There was a large glass basin with a heavy stone lid located along one wall. He laid the still form of the blonde on a wooden table next to the basin, slid off the lid, and carefully propped it up against the wall. He heard a soft intake of breath behind him, and turned to see a naked girl chained to the far wall, crouching in misery, with her fist pressed to her mouth and fear and grief written plainly on her face.